You may be seated. Well, we come to Daniel 12, the last chapter of Daniel. It may seem like it was a lot more than 12 chapters since we began Daniel as we wind to a close. I will return to some themes from Daniel next week for a communion meditation, but we will finish the book today as we turn to Daniel chapter 12. I would remind you before I read that 10, 11, and 12 is one unit. It's one moment in Daniel's life when he was came in the presence of angels who were giving him further instructions of his life, of the recent past, and then the immediate future, and even the far future. But again, so these last three parts, Daniel 10, 11, and 12, all go together, one in a sense, one vision. So we're coming to the conclusion of that now, and the conclusion of the book. Daniel 12, this is God's word. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the end of until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray now that you would give us understanding, apply it to our hearts and to our lives, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do you believe this book? You know, as I was pondering what I would put for my article in the newsletter this month, and I'll return to some of the themes from that article next week. At the end of the day, if we either believe this book or we don't, and our belief in its full authority, what we call its inerrancy, meaning that in the it's without error in the original autographs, it's infallible. There's no mistakes. And when I say inerrancy in its original autographs, that's not talking about we have an incredible apparatus of all the copies of Scripture and all the fact that we have copies of little copy errors here and there and how they are determined. The Bible, we either accept it as God's authoritative word or we don't. And when we start deciding there's certain things we don't like in it, then that proverbial slippery slope really is slippery and you just slide down. And there's really just a remarkable freedom when you get back to it and just deal with the fact, you know what, we have the Bible. And we have God's Word. His final Word in Christ, His written Word here for us, 66 books, the Old and the New Testament. We have law. We have prophecy. We have poems that are worship. We have gospels. We have history. Prayers. And so we take it literally. By taking it literally, it means a poem is a poem. A poem uses imagery. We understand that that imagery points to something beyond itself. We take the history. It's telling us things that really happened. We have the law that tells us how God expects us to live, what He expects us to do, what He expects us not to do. And by the way, that means every human being who's ever been born and who is alive right now, whether they acknowledge it or not, the expectation is that they obey what the Creator has put forth. And so having God's Word, it allows us to know what's true. Now, God's Word is being at this time, and again, I'll get back to some of this more next week. It's not so much these days that we're having to that Christians find themselves in arguments over whether the Bible, you know, how we got the Bible and whether the Bible is the Word of God. It's actually the teachings itself. It's the moral teachings. It's the expectations that God has of us that are so under attack these days. But my point is, we have God's Word. And God gave this final word to Daniel. And it has a lot of application for us today, right now, on July 2nd, 2023. As he comes to the conclusion of this vision, we first see a preview of the gospel, or our security in trouble, our security in our times of trouble, a preview of the gospel. You know, here in this section, just these first few verses, I've noted that, yeah, verses 1 through 4, we have remarkable things here in just these first few verses. I'm just going to lay them out for you real quick. We have we're told there's going to be a great persecution, a general resurrection, a final judgment, a final eternal blessedness of the saints, and also the necessity and the veracity of sacred Scripture. All that right here in these first few verses. We're told again of Michael, this archangel. This angel that it appears is particularly God has created him and put him forth behind the scenes in the spiritual realm to protect his people. We've talked about that over the past few weeks. You know, we've discussed the fact that there are angels and demons, and there is a spiritual battle going on that we don't see, but we're so thankful that God is in control and that He is working even behind the scenes on our behalf. But we're told there will be a time of trouble such as never been since a nation till that time. Just this morning, I was rereading about how this is going to immediately come to pass in about 175 BC. I think, let's see, right now we're in we're probably at about 605 BC. And when Antiochus Epiphanes comes, and I was reading more clearly this even this morning about how when he comes, you know, that fourth ruler who of the four that took over after Alexander, how he is going to, and we see this in history, this happened, he's going to put an abomination of desolation in the temple, a, a, There's going to be a statue of Zeus, and there's going to be a sacrificing of pigs in the temple, and God's people are going to be... He actually tried to destroy them. He tried to destroy God's word, Antiochus Epiphanes. And that's when the Maccabean revolt and this small group of true believers stood forth against him. So that would be an immediate context of this prophecy. But then it also talks about, and again, this is called the telescoping of prophecy, how it comes in phases. We're also told of something that some people have a hard time, again, when biblical scholars are studying or not realizing how the Old Testament, in many, many places, looks toward a resurrection. But here's one place where it's told very clearly. Those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. There will be a resurrection. Jesus picked up on this in John 5, 28 and 29. Even these same words that Daniel used. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. By God's grace, this is included in our pre-written over the years liturgy that's already prepared for us to use at funerals. There will be a resurrection. Those in Christ will arise to life everlasting in the blessedness of their Creator. Those who reject Christ will arise to everlasting torment and judgment. Jesus spoke of that as well. But this angel, in giving Daniel this message, is giving him a preview of the gospel, of the good news. This is good news, security in our trouble. When troubles come, don't forget that there is a resurrection. This life isn't all that we're living for. We're living for eternity. There's a final judgment. The book of Hebrews would pick up on this. It's appointed for man to die once, and after that, the judgment. But those in Christ are safe. You need to know that if you've trusted Jesus, you're safe. Yes, the Bible appears to teach that there'll be different degrees of reward we will have in heaven based on our life as believers. But for the believer, you don't have to fear the judgment. If you're in Christ today, you're safe. This is for you. That however hard life may get for us, and we don't know how much harder it might get in the course of our lifetimes or of our children or grandchildren, it says those who are wise, and again, those did this in 175 BC, but also today and also in the future. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky. Those who stay firm, even in the face of persecution, shall shine in the darkness. And look at this, those who turn many to righteousness, those who point others to the one true living God in the midst of the darkness. They'll shine like stars forever. There's an eternal blessedness. But I added this fifth. There's a necessity and veracity of sacred scripture. And so he says at this point, Daniel, shut up the words and seal them in the book. That's just saying, write them down, protect them, seal them. And actually, in this day, what that would have been was he would have had a scroll that he wrote them on and would have sealed one and would have had another copy that would have still been open. The sealing simply to be to protect it, not to shut it up that it would never be read, but the seal of that it's the authenticating seal. This is a word from God. So we even see something of the doctrine of Scripture. Seal this book till the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. those outside of Christ will run to and fro. There's a passage in Amos, I didn't make a note of it, I won't try to find it, that uses this exact language, running to and fro and not finding anything. We see that happening right now. But those in Christ looking at Scripture will gain knowledge. We have here, pointed out here in these first few verses, what I already prayed about. There's two peoples in the world, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Those in Christ will be saved till the end, whereas those outside of Christ will only get worse until the end. But again, I just point this out here at the beginning. We have a preview of the gospel, the good news, security in our trouble. We can face persecution because we know a resurrection is coming, a final judgment. God will make things right, an eternal blessedness of all the saints, and even a reminder that we have the Scripture sealed, authenticated, God's Word. But then one of the angels has a question of the other angel. It appears Michael, perhaps, the one above the waters. There's then two, one on either side of this stream where Daniel is standing in this vision, has a question. He says, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? That's the end of verse 6. And then the man clothed in linen answers. And again, he returns to some of the same words that have been used in previous prophecies in Daniel. He says, for a time, times, and half a time. And then the power of the holy people will be shattered. But once that comes to an end, everything will be finished. He is telling him there's going to be a persecution. I've entitled this point, A Preview of Persecution, Certainty and Tenacity in Your Trouble. He's saying there will be persecution. Persecution will come for God's people. Jesus would pick up on this. Remember, Jesus in his upper room discourse, chapter 16. Do you now believe? Jesus asked them. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. At other points, Jesus told them, if they've hated me, they will hate you. You know, Jesus, in all of his words, he spoke a lot about hardships. He spoke a lot about taking up a cross and following him. He spoke the most about hell of any other person in the New Testament. Jesus told us straight. We also have this in Revelation, a preview of this. Again, of the persecution that has come and continues to come. Let's see, Revelation 12. Now, a war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. Again, we're already told that this war has gone on even before, behind the scenes, in the spiritual realm. Verse 10, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now here's what I'm getting at. For they loved not their lives even unto death. Revelation talks about those who would trust Jesus and would die for it. There's a particular passage in Revelation that says, until all those whom God has foreordained should die for him, that the end won't come until then. Until those faithful have completed the task before them. And so he's telling us, even back in the book of Daniel, when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. A preview of persecution. Um, The life in Christ is not a bed of roses. But Jesus will return, and God will win. But there will be troubles in the meantime. And then Daniel says, I don't understand. Doesn't that help us? We don't understand. Daniel, he recorded it. This is the second time he says this. Daniel says, verse 8, I heard, but I did not understand. I said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? And he says, look, Daniel, the words are shut up and sealed till the end of time. I've given you the word. The word has been spoken. And then he takes us to some of the things I was just mentioning from Revelation. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined. In other words, the believers that are coming immediately when the Antiochus Epiphanes comes against you, but even further when the man of lawlessness, when these antichrists throughout time come, God's people will be purified. And this happens all through history. Many shall purify themselves, make themselves white and be refined. They will stand secure even unto death. And while they are standing secure even unto death, the wicked will act wickedly. Sometimes we're surprised that the wicked act wickedly. We need to not be surprised. It's in their nature. None of the wicked shall understand. Oh, don't we know that today? But those who are wise shall understand. And then again, he returns to some of these same images. I'm not going to go through them all again. About the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, the abomination that makes desolate. I really just have one thing I'm going to say today about these. There shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. Bible scholars, particularly when you get into different views of the end times, have tried to take these numbers and add them up and come up with calculations. I think the biggest thing for us to do is to say, did this angel expect Daniel to go and to start making calculations as to when this particular war would happen or this particular type of warfare would come about or these particular type of things would be later on invented and different things like that? What he is doing here is giving Daniel certainty of what's going to happen and the certainty that God will prevail and that God's people would prevail. And it's interesting. Basically, he's telling us this time of persecution has an end point. It won't just go on forever. There's going to be a preview of, he's given us a preview of this persecution. There will be a period of persecution. But it is set. But you know what? You're going to have to persevere all the way to the end. All the way to the end. I brought this bin here because I wanted to quote something. And I think I forgot to quote the one. I'm going to quote you two things here before I get to my third point. First of all, when he's talking about ultimately the end of history here, one commentator put it like this. We will come to the point in history where it appears that darkness has really won the day. It will seem as if the Antichrist is going to continue forever. It will seem as if the church has already been entirely obliterated. What Antiochus Epiphanes was trying to do even before the time of Christ. There will no longer be any sign of it. It will seem as if everything is over. But he's telling Daniel this. Stand secure. Stand secure. There is a certain number of days. Then I wanted to read here what Ralph Davis says about this. This 1290 and this 1335. These things are a parable, we might say. If you are Jesus' disciple, you are simply called to keep on going, to keep slogging on in your worship of Christ. to keep on refusing to bow to the latest idol. You hear that? Let's let that sink in for us. The latest idols that have been put before us. If you are Jesus' disciple, you are simply called to keep on going, to keep slogging on in your worship of Christ, to keep on refusing to bow to the latest idol. Who knows what hatred and damage may fall on you, what threats or enticements may be made to you. But God is going to have 1,335 people. After evil does its worst, the Church of Jesus will be there, standing on their feet. He is telling us here, even in persecution, if you're in Christ, if you're my faithful people, you will stand. And you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. And so there's also a preview of perseverance. It's interesting how books of the Bible sometimes end. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But Daniel, go your way till the end. You shall rest. You shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days. He's saying, Daniel, go back to work. You're a civil servant for the king of Persia. Go back to work. Continue to be faithful. Continue to stand firm. Do your work. You're not going to go back to Jerusalem. You've stayed here in Persia. You know, he was in his mid-80s by this point. Just finish the race for you, Daniel. What does that mean for us? It means that as we, God's kingdom has come in Christ. It means for us today, let's live for that kingdom now. We don't have to worry all about the future. What we have to worry about is today, what God has put before us today. Let's live for his kingdom now. Let's recognize that he's in control, even when it seems like sometimes that he's not. And it does seem like that sometimes for us. Let's be obedient now. Let's fulfill our present responsibilities now. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. In 2 Peter, Peter was looking forward to the coming of the end. And he says, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for the hastening, the coming of the day of God? Holiness and godliness. That's what we're called to. That's what Daniel the book is about. Calling Daniel and his friends to holiness and godliness, even in Babylon. Even when the whole world seems to tell you that's not the way to go, he's telling us holiness and godliness in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Recognize God is in control. I already mentioned it in my rambling prayer, how Paul said to the Athenians, God has set the allotted times and places, already set. This is our allotted time and place. Let's be obedient now. Let's fulfill our responsibilities now. We're a peculiar people. Where's praise to the Lord in our hymnal? Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. I want to close with that, with just reading. Number 8. I know it was toward the beginning. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters thee under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Praise to the Lord, who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend to thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do if, with His love, He befriend thee. The resurrection is sure. Jesus has made that clear in His resurrection for our justification. Persecution will come. Jesus told us that. But in Christ, we will persevere. And so let's do what He calls us to do today. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that our calling and election is sure in Christ. May we be faithful to make that calling and election sure. Lord, thank You for Your word. It's living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of joint and spirit, judging the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Lord, judge the thoughts and intentions of our hearts this morning. Apply Your word to them. Change in us what needs to be changed. Make us more like Jesus. Lord, I pray that Your word, it would go forth now today as it has. Lord, let Your word now rest upon each of Your people, even in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.